Welcome to The Common Sense Show with your host, Dave Hodges. We discuss a variety of topics here, including the deep state, the new world order, Agenda 21. There is no one, no topic beyond Dave's reach, because as you know, you can't dodge the Hodge.
Hey everybody, thanks for staying with us into our guest segment and enduring our intro, which I'm sure you found very interesting. This is Dave Hodges again, and this is The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we have the first of a scheduled two-part interview with Virginia Farver from Fort Collins, Colorado. And you go, oh yeah, we remember Virginia, yes. And she has produced some stunning observations regarding 5G related research that gets buried and will never be reported on by the mainstream media, but she's now taken this to a whole new level. And I'm telling you right now, you want to get your kids out of the room, because this will not be for the faint of heart. Before we join Virginia with these stunning revelations, I need to let you know that we have we've got to pay some bills. And they're bills that you want to pay too. In other words, what we're selling, you need. There are, listen, I can't tell you how many stories we're chasing down right now. My colleagues in the independent media and I, I was up until 3 a.m. and up again at 4:30 a.m. on the morning of this broadcast. And we are chasing stories of asteroids, continuity of government, impending nuclear war. And I mean, these are not fanciful stories. These stories all have substance behind them. Eyewitness to some of the correlated events, and we're trying to make sense out of it. So you'll be seeing a lot of this on thecommonsenseshow.com. But what does this add up to? You need food and water. You need to make sure that you can be independent for a while. I always say you need food, water, guns, gold, ammo, medicine, and tools, and that's natural medicine, because you're not going to be able to fulfill or fill your prescriptions for much longer. And we've been warning about this day coming, and as a good friend of mine, Steve Quayle, said on my radio show the other day, hey, what's coming is no longer coming. It's already here. And I don't think truer words were ever spoken. The food, very quickly, you know about its MPS. It's safe. It's tasty. 25-year shelf life. And we have $100 off the 4-week package. And people are buying multiple sets of the 4-week package. Now, why are they doing that? Because it's the cheapest way to add to your stash. And we had one guy actually buy 100 sets of this. And you get the $100 off for each set that you order. So you want to do this. Go to preparewithdave.com. That's preparewithdave.com. And with the water, you don't necessarily want to store water, because that's hard to maintain and make it safe. You need to have water filtration. You'll never have trouble finding standing water, whether it be swimming pools or runoff from the rain or a lake. But you go, I don't know if I can drink that. And you're probably right. Spiridium can be a real problem for you. In fact, the Naval War College says on the fifth day that your waterborne illnesses become the number one cause of death. So take it from us. You need a good water filter. And I'm going to be honest with you. We have three, because things get stolen, things break over time. And we have three. And we have the Alexa Pure Pro Water Filter. Yeah, you heard me. I'll say it again. Alexa Pure Pro Water Filter. You go, I haven't heard of that. Okay, well, we're going to send you via website that we'll acquaint you with research. And it shows that this is the best product out there. And you'll never be without water, as long as you can find some standing water, or swimming pool water, or lake water, or river water. You'll always have something to drink if you have this device. And they're offering this now for 40% off while supplies last. And I'm telling you right now, they're flying out the door right now, because people are getting it, that we're in trouble. 40% off. Go to waterwithdave.com. That's waterwithdave.com for the water, preparewithdave.com for the food. And what we're telling people right now, listen to me, folks, if you're wrong, and I'm wrong, which I don't believe we are, we're in for a crisis. How bad the crisis is going to get, that's what we have to decide, and that's what we're investigating. But let's put it this way. We know for a fact continuity of government has been triggered. We know this for a fact. And I've reported on the first part of it. We have more coming out, and I've got colleagues working on this. So, you know, don't let the grass grow under your feet. This is not trying to, we're not trying to scare you to up the sales. We're trying to scare you to prepare you. And the worst thing that happens is you eat your mistake or you have a water filter for the next crisis. But I think for a lot of people, depending on where you're at, this could be a real problem. All right. We're going to go to Virginia Farver, and I'm going to warn you right now that Virginia and I had a lengthy conversation a few days ago as we were planning to do this, and I have never heard her. In all the conversations we've had for all these years, 8 years total now, I have never heard her sound so dire. So this is such a big deal. It's so threatening. I've never heard the fear in her voice like I heard a few days ago. And you're going to hear it here, and you're also probably hearing it from me, too. The globalists are losing, and they are throwing everything at us in the book. And I want to make sure you hear this. They cannot beat Donald Trump, and they know if they kill Donald Trump, they know that they'll have probably 100 million people in the streets, and there'll be nowhere they can hide. They know this. So they're throwing everything, including the kitchen sink, at Donald Trump and at us now. And they're making their move right now. And the next 60 days, 50 days, are going to be hell on earth. Virginia, I hope I didn't over-dramatize our situation, but that's how I'm seeing it. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Well, do you think I'm being too frenetic here, or do you think it's not this bad, or should people really be worried?
I think it's really bad, Dave. Just the fact that 5G is coming, and I just found out it's being deployed in another 89 cities across the United States right now as we speak. And I just don't think people understand how dire the situation is, because I have a feeling that, you know, it's not going to take long before we have a body count.
Yeah, I hear you. A body count on top of a body count. I mean, this isn't going to be... Let's put it this way. The longer time goes on, I think there's going to be more dead people. And the dead people will start out with a trickle, but it'll reach a flood fairly quickly. I mean, how do you see it? That's my opinion.
That's exactly how I see it. And I feel like that this COVID-19 was the perfect opportunity to bring in this new industrial age. It's the fourth industrial age, and we're talking about transhumanism and everything else. Now we're going to, I call it the New World Order of schools, because now the schools are doing all online learning, and it's just going to get that much worse before it gets much better.
Let's just jump to the last day here. How do you imagine how bad it will look? And then we'll kind of go back to the beginning and work our way back. But if we work with the end in mind here, what will that last day look like?
I'm not real sure, Dave. I feel like that, I've done my diligence with trying to warn people about cell phones and about wireless radiation, and for the life of me, still most of the people I know still cannot get rid of them and still use them, and I just feel like this is just we're paying for our own demise, and that's the way it is. And I have a feeling, I've talked about this before, that we've got new medical facilities going up all over. I know here in Colorado, and I believe this is for the many, many cancers that will be started here in the United States.
Do you think there'll be quick-acting cancers, exposure followed by quick hospitalization, and this is why they need these impromptu facilities?
Absolutely. And, just to let you know, there was a doctor in California, this was several years ago, that saw three young gals in his office, and they all three had breast cancers in the shapes of their cell phones from putting them in their bras. And just to let you know, Dave, these are very aggressive cancers. You know, brain cancers, it's usually the glioblastoma types. Now you're talking months for survival, and that's it. and this is what's coming down. Colon cancer is way up for young adults now, too. And, of course, you know, they're putting cell phones in their pockets and everything else, and just people haven't put two and two together yet.
Okay, well, let's go back to the beginning for people who may not be familiar with you, and our audience has grown significantly. And I should mention, we go out on Red State Talk Radio and its affiliates, and Global Star and its affiliates, KYAH, and the affiliates that spring out of that. Our podcast services will catch this, so pretty well. The only place we won't go with this is YouTube, because they'd never tolerate it, because they don't want the truth told about this. The only people you can listen to is the World Health Organization. And so, you know, this is where we're sending these messages out to. So a number of significant people are going to hear this, Virginia. And our numbers have grown precipitously since you and I have introduced this. So let's go back to kind of the beginning and how you got involved and how you learned how serious this really is.
Dave, I lost a son in 2008 from glioblastoma brain cancer. And my son, I live in Colorado, and he was living in San Diego at the time. And our neurosurgeon at the time told us it was from his cell phone usage. So after my son passed, he only lived 7 months, I started investigating cell phones. And I started reading about all these cancer clusters at several schools. And one was at SDSU, San Diego State University, and my son was one of them mentioned in these articles. And there was a cell tower on campus that had illegal emissions. This one cell tower could transmit 72 miles in all directions, and right now the directions, I think it's east-west is 200 miles, and north-south is 125 miles. So this is how powerful some of these cell towers can get. And it's a government cell tower. And just to let everybody know, it's actually hooked to the HARP system. And with that said, HARP antennas are usually on state properties, which San Diego State University. And then they're also a lot of times connected to communications buildings, and a lot of these schools offer communication degrees. So, of course, the cell tower itself was on top of the communications building. But I've also been investigating six other cancer clusters, which were also all caused by some type of dirty electricity or wireless radiation. And I've also compiled, this was last fall, I compiled a list of over 20 school cancer clusters across the United States right now. So it seems to be a really big problem, and our kids are sitting in this every day. So I try and tell parents, if there's ever a time in history, now with this COVID-19 and the online, this is time to homeschool your children.
Mm-hmm. I've heard while schools have been out for months that many of the telecoms have come into these schools and have installed 5G wireless. Is there truth to that?
Absolutely. They are installing it stealthily in many of the schools. And I don't know when or if these kids are going to even be able to come back, but I would be very aware of that. And also, they are upgrading a lot of the Wi-Fi systems and everything else. So you have to just know what your kids are being exposed to. Plus, you know, the school districts, Dave, are in hunger for some kind of revenue. And,
yeah,
of course, you know, the telecoms can give them thousands of dollars a month, you know, for leases.
Wow. So they've got all this these slush funds available to buy off the right people at the schools to install this. How about oversight from government? Do they have to bypass any authority there to go into the schools and do this?
I'm not real sure, Dave, on that. All I can tell you is this industry, Janet Newton from the EMR Policy Institute, this was out of Vermont, probably 7 or 8 years ago. They tested 600 cell towers in Vermont, and only every one of them were not in compliance, and they were only able to sue over one. So so this kind of tells you, I mean, they can turn these things up and down. You know, you don't know what's on them. The one that I found at SDSU, of course, is the government tower. And it took me, it was not on antennasearch.com, so it took me months to figure out what this cell tower was called. So, you know, you just have to really be diligent and really dig for your answers.
Wow. Well, I just can't believe people have let it get this far. And I'll tell you why. You sensitized me to the issue. So maybe I'm a little more aware than the average person, but you can't really do much reading or even be on the internet for very long and not be exposed to opposition. And I don't mean just opposition. I mean opposition in the form of critical research done by critical researchers.
Right. Right. And people don't understand, too, that the school districts actually will pay lobbyists. And they do it for the vaccinations, and they do it for the wireless and everything. So, you know, like I said, Dave, it's a really good time to be homeschooling your children. So I suggest people do that if they can possibly do it.
So you think the schools are totally on board and they're participating in lobbying officials not to vote against it?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
I didn't know the schools were that far gone with regard to their allegiances.
They absolutely are, and, you know, the kids are not their first priority anymore. There's actually something called the SHLB, and that stands for Schools, Health, Libraries, and Broadband.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a really, really distinct group that's pushing for a lot of technology in our schools. And boy, I'll tell you, if your child goes to school that's involved in any of this, I would yank them really quick.
My gosh. Well, I know most schools have broadband, but most of it's 4G, isn't it?
Yes. And you know, 4G is very dangerous too, Dave. Like I said, I've mentioned this before, that, you know, when they installed the 4G, this is when you started seeing come and get your flu shots in May, June, July at your local drugstore, because this is what's suppressed and weakened our immune system. And so 5G will just add to that. So this is we're at a point where I don't know if there's going to be any coming back from it.
There's something that I've been reading, and I've been reading this consistently, and some from real doctors. I mean, not people that are professing to know something they don't. And they say that they believe taking the flu shot has weakened your resistance to coronavirus.
I believe it. And you know, there's mercury and aluminum, and guess what's attracted to it? All the radiations. You get your child vaccinated, you send them to a school where they're getting blasted with Wi-Fi, and then they all have laptops and cell phones and cell towers on the property. You're just asking for trouble. So I think this is a really big problem, Dave. And plus, you know, I mean, there's just all kinds of symptoms. You know, they get depression and anxiety and all types of other things that go on with them as well, too. And, of course, you know, if you take them to a doctor, they're going to tell you to get some kind of a medication instead of dealing with what's really the problem and addressing it.
Wow. This is this had to have been known before it started. But I can't, well, I guess I can believe it. I was going to say this. I'm stunned in the face of how much medical evidence there is that people aren't waking up and demanding changes. But look at what we've done with COVID. I mean, even the CDC walked back their numbers to 10,000 deaths, and then a day later, someone pulled the switch and made them recant that statement. I'm sure you followed that.
Oh, absolutely. And Dave, this COVID, you know, I sent you information. Georgetown University now has what's called the COVID-19 Law Lab. So, you know, we're talking about, you know, I'm envisioning that they're going to go to all this mandatory stuff, and they're going to force us to have to get a vaccine.
How does the wireless enter into this at all?
I just think that it was a perfect opportunity, me personally, I really think, Dave, that once this virus came out, they knew that they were going to install this 5G as quickly as possible before anybody could understand what was going on, because I still said, because of the 1996 Telecom Act, I think it's Section 706, where you cannot sue over health effects, and they know this, and this is why I think this gave them the perfect opportunity to get this slapped up as quickly as possible. And of course, the schools, the kids were out, and nobody's going around to these schools, and it's just been the perfect opportunity to get it installed.
Wow. I think you're pointing to an end game, but we'll come back to that, because I think we're building there. But traveling down this road, what is it about the 5G that makes it so dangerous to the brain? And a layman's explanation, why is 5G deadly? Do we know the percentage of the population that will be affected? You mentioned how long the demise is. It's less than a year because of the type of cancer it is. So tell us what you know about the medical indications.
Well, Dave, first off, what I want to tell people is, you know, 5G is the last frontier. So you can take that as it states, and to me, it's our last frontier. I mean, and I think, Dave, I don't really know any statistics. You know, they don't keep statistics on brain cancers and that type of thing. But, you know, I think that parents are going to start seeing that their kids are not learning well and cannot comprehend as well. And, you know, you just have to be very, very astute to some of the symptoms that can occur. You know, they'll get fatigued very easily and have brain fog. They will have all types of symptoms, and these are the ones you need to watch out for and catch them as soon as possible before they get to that stage. But this is the thing with these new 5G phones. You know, it's millimeter wave technology, and the problem is, you know, now it's going to be in front of my house. That's the problem with it, you know, and these kids don't have any idea that this is coming. And now they are actually, I think I mentioned this before too, that they've actually approved 7G, and 6G, if you look it up, is actually 100 times faster than 5G, and now they've got some pilot cities putting out 6G. So we have to be very careful. But the millimeter waves, they're digital, and you know, it's the pulsing effect, and that's what hits your brain, and it destroys your brain.
How many more times is 7G over 6G?
I'm not even sure, and I don't even want to know. I've heard from some experts that we won't survive it. And I've actually read this several years ago, that 9G was a possibility, but, you know, they just have said there's no way we could survive it. But 5G, I think, is pretty much the end game point for everybody. Because now, Dave, it's everywhere. It's not going to be just, you know, a cell tower, an occasional cell tower. These cell towers are going to be literally everywhere.
Talk about that. What do you mean everywhere?
Well, they're going to be every 3 to 10 homes. They are putting up fake pine trees if I live in Colorado, cactuses if you live in Arizona. They've just got the infrastructure everywhere. And actually, the antennas, you know, are getting smaller and smaller, but more and more powerful. And so this is the other thing. They don't look like they are harmful in any way, but they are very, very harmful. And the millimeter waves, actually, like I said, they cause blindness. These affect the retinas of your eyes, and it also affects your sweat glands. It makes your sweat glands like little antennas to hook to the Internet of Things, so that you can be hooked to, you know, constantly about everything. They want to put in smart pavement everywhere. They literally want to put these sensors in everywhere, Dave. And I read where they've got and this is a really good research program that you can look at. It's Wintergreen Research Incorporated, and you guys can look up all kinds of things there. But they said the 5G markets in 2020 went from $31 billion, and by 2026, this is 6 years from now, they're expecting it to be an $11 trillion industry.
Oh, my gosh.
So that tells you how many sensors are going to put up. I mean, we're talking hundreds of thousands of more cell towers. And this is where I'm frightened, Dave, is because I've done enough research on just the grids and all the different grids, and they're all in all these school campuses and everywhere else and up and down all of our... You know, they're literally everywhere, and I mean they're even in the oceans on buoys, and they've got Scripps Oceanography out of San Diego, the cell tower that affected my son, it's hooked to that, and they've got something called the CODAR network, and I mean these things go everywhere, and it's very scary. And then on top of it, you add any kind of satellites, and we're just in a lot of trouble.
Oh, wow. I think you're making an understatement that we're in a lot of trouble. The frequency thing. I know a little bit about frequencies from my early days as a psych instructor, and I followed this guy from the early 60s, and he could change emotions by hitting the brain with an electrical impulse. And if he changed frequencies, he could change the emotional response. His name was Jose Delgado. And he's actually fairly well known in psychological circles because we call these the first mind control experiments. And you can manipulate behavioral changes. So this is another avenue I'm coming at this with. I would imagine with 5G or 4G to 5G to 6G, I would imagine we're going to see different kinds of behaviors coming out that we might not otherwise see. Have you uncovered anything related to that?
Well, you know, speaking about all these riots in all of these cities, you know, like Denver, you know, they've had constant riots and, you know, destruction and everything else going on. Well, they've turned on their 5G in downtown Denver. And so, you know, they can actually make a whole populace, you know, really agitated or depressed, or they can do whatever they want. And actually, when you start going into transhumanism, now they've got something that's called mind loading. So we're just getting into some really crazy stuff, to be honest with you.
Wow. That's all I can say is wow. I do remember the work of Nick Begich. I don't know. Are you familiar with him at all?
Yes.
And he kind of made his mark nationally on HARP. And he talked about the patents of groups like Eastman Kodak and other organizations where they could change behaviors. You could make people calm and passive, and you could make them agitated. And I'll never forget that. He wrote a book called Angels Don't Play This HARP. And I actually interviewed Nick around 2009. And it looks like everything he warned about is coming to fruition. Do you think that these frequencies have anything to do with the passivity I'm seeing from Americans that have accepted their economy being ripped away based on real shoddy reasoning, false information that you can see right through? But the people aren't going to the street, even though their lives are destroyed. Is there a passivity that's being induced by these frequencies?
Well, you know, the cell phones can create mind control. I mean, and I see it, Dave. You know, that's because I don't have a cell phone, and I haven't for several years, since 2008. You know, besides the addictive nature of them, I've watched people, and, you know, I think this is the only place they're getting their news, which is not good, you know, and they don't understand that. And I really think that it does. It keeps them passive, and they just don't get involved in anything. And, you know, I've had so many people tell me I'd rather die than get rid of my cell phone. So, you know, this is where we're at. I mean, they've got us hook, line, and sinker into this. And, you know, a couple of times lately, I've just kind of thrown my arms up in the air and thought, you know, I'm going to just protect myself and get out of here at this point.
Mm-hmm. But if you're putting 5G satellites into space, which I understand Elon Musk is doing, is there anywhere you can run and hide, maybe except underground?
Well, you know, that's a good issue. I've heard that, you know, I don't know. I know with cell towers, you don't want a house with a view. You don't want, you want to have as many pine trees around your house as possible. And the earth is the natural shelter to all of this stuff. So, you know, that's a good idea for people if you can afford to build an earth-sheltered home, something like that. But, you know, at some point, you know, you got to pick and choose your poison. You can either stay in a town center and just be blasted with it constantly, or, you know, take your chances and at least live out in the rural areas. That's kind of where I'm at this point.
Mm-hmm. But most people can't afford to do that.
Right.
That's the problem.
Right. Well, I was on a conference call about 3 weeks ago with an attorney, I won't mention names, that actually said now is the time. Now is the time to shield. You need to shield your homes. And there again, Dave, it's very cost prohibitive for most people to buy shielding paint and materials and, you know, all kinds of stuff, but that's where we're at. So my bottom line is we just have to stop it. I mean, it's just craziness, and we just need to figure out a way to get it stopped.
Wow. And there's no cooperation among the people that are running this to notify people that you need to be doing these things. They act like everything's okay. Is that right?
Right. And you know, Dave, the thing is, this just reminds me again, just like the whole smart meter issue. You know, I tried to tell people, you know, 6 or 7 years ago, you don't want a smart meter on your house.
Yeah.
They can turn them into a bomb. They can shut your power off or your water off anytime they want to. Now look what's happened in California. And again, they're putting this in without the public's knowledge. And so to me, that tells me everything, because if they don't want the public to know about it, then they know that they're doing something very wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very wrong.
What about the cities I read about? And they say, we're not allowing 5G here. I think it's a false token effort because there's no city boundaries that block electromagnetic waves. But what happens with these cities that say no 5G here?
Well, you know, this is coming down through the FCC, which, by the way, is a captured agency by industry and the United Nations to boot. So this is why it's so powerful, and this is why they're captured. And these cities take a risk of being sued. But my whole concept is if everybody would have said no, if every city would have said no from the very beginning, the telecom industry, there's no way they could have, you know, defended themselves against all these lawsuits. So this is where I'm at. And so there's a lot of people. I think there's a lot of money changing hands behind the scenes, I mean, without being able to prove it. But, you know, it's just like the smart grid. There's got people know that are pushing these things, that these things are dangerous, but yet they're still willing to put them in and even have them near their homes and their families. So there's got to be some kind of a trigger that's letting them, you know, they want to push this stuff. So I that's the other thing going on. You know, the telecom industry is a very powerful industry. I actually went to San Francisco. This was probably in 2010, and we were trying to get the Right to Know Act started, and I met some friends there, and we went to a bunch of legislative offices and talked to people, and the vote was going to be 7 for it and 3 against it. We got that change, so it was 3 against it and 7 for it. But I'll tell you what, Dave, the telecom industry were 10 minutes behind us when they found out what we were doing and offering checks to these legislators to change.
Isn't that illegal?
Well, you know, I would think it would be, but we saw it firsthand. But everything at this point, you know, and I do want everybody to know, you know, I'm in the lawsuit with the Children's Health Defense Council, and it ended the lawsuit was filed the very last day of July, so they have 45 days with which to respond, which will be the middle of this month, and this is suing the FCC over health effects. And really, Dave, if you read this, it's 117 pages. I sent it to you. I honestly don't know how the FCC can possibly defend themselves against all of this information, because now there's enough evidence with the NTP study and the Ram and Enzi study that came out in 2018 and all of the other studies that are coming out that this stuff is harmful. Any type of wireless device is harmful.
I think what they're going to fall back on is because there's not documented he or she died from 5G. The judge can legitimately say, you haven't proven your case for lethality. You've only done it theoretically.
Right.
That's where I see. And I'm not a lawyer, but Virginia, I've been around this stuff, and I have taught about research protocols, and occasionally you come across these court rulings, and you have to show damage. In
right.
other words, to prove your case. And is there enough damage, or is it more laboratory proof of what we're saying, but not hardcore public suffering?
This has a lot of people that have joined that have suffered from this. So, and of course, that's why I'm involved, is because of my son.
Yeah.
So, you know, Dave, hopefully this will... I've heard through the grapevine that the FCC is a little nervous about this, so this is good. And there's also other lawsuits that are coming down now as well too. So you know, we just have to keep that in mind and you know, have some kind of a hope. You know, I tried suing the city of Fort Collins a few years ago over the smart meter program on my own, and I'll tell you, the judge came back and basically stated that the city had extensive public outreach for the smart grid and the smart meters, which of course probably most of your listeners know that I could probably go and talk to probably 75% of the Fort Collins residents right now, and they don't know what a smart meter is or that they even have one. So, you know, this is all a big scam, but see, this is also coming through the EPA, because they've got these public participation guides. And what those do it has corporations, the corporations decide how much information the public will receive on any agenda item. So that's how they're keeping a lot of this suppressed.
I think that violates the Freedom of Information Act.
I don't know.
You can't, you know, as a public entity that's providing a service, you have to make full disclosure.
Right.
And you're not immune to freedom information inquiries from the public or from the media. So can you say this again, exactly what are they, who's deciding what on this issue?
Well, they've got something called, it's the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, has something called the Public Participation Guide, or the International Public Participation Guide. And if you read through there, like the City of Fort Collins, there's a group of facilitators. It's called the IAP2, which is the International Association for Public Participation. The city hires these facilitators to come in and teach them how to handle the public. And actually, if you read through these guides, it's really interesting, Dave, because there's actually a segment on how to handle outraged citizens. So I do know the first day that Trump got into office and he said he was slashing the funding to the EPA, I was screaming for joy. I was so happy, because it's so, you know, everything is so controlled right now.
So they got to him, is what I'm hearing.
Right.
Is that what you believe?
Well, I think he knows. I mean, Trump knows about everything, and I personally, he's trying to get us out of the WHO, and of course, I've got a document that's written that's called The WHO Knew from 2011, Dave. The WHO, the World Health Organization, knew at that point that wireless radiation was a health hazard, and look at it, this has been almost 9 years now, and they still haven't put out any kind of public warning to anybody, or haven't, you know, forced manufacturers to change course. They haven't done anything. So, yeah, I was thrilled that he got us out of the WHO. So if he keeps going and we can get out of more of this UN stuff, I think this would help us a lot.
Yeah, but why isn't he using, I'm probably asking a question you don't have an answer for, but if he's aware, and he said he was going after the EPA, I've heard him personally champion 5G, 6G, 7G. I heard him make a speech where he went up the escalator saying these are all good things.
Yeah, I heard him at the RNC, and actually I cringed when he said that, but Dave, I think he knows. You know, just to let everybody know, Huawei out of China, I mean, I knew about Huawei several years ago. And, you know, they were the ones that wanted to install all of the 5G networks throughout the United States. Well, Trump stopped that. And, you know, I personally, this is just my opinion, I think that Trump, you know, the UN is in charge of everything literally right now. And so when I say that, I think that Trump is up against the United Nations, and he knows it, because they've pretty much captured every agency in the United States at this point.
And how is it they've captured the president? I mean, this is where...
I don't know. I don't know. I wonder if he knows, and I'm hoping that if he gets reelected, he might come out against some of this stuff, because somebody needs to let him know if he doesn't know. And we've got to get him aware of what's going on and know that this stuff is very, very dangerous. He's got to be aware of something going on. I just can't imagine that he doesn't.
But we're so close to the election. Do you get a feel for the Democrats on where they come down on this?
You know, the way I look at it, Dave, I think that if any politician, they would all go for it. It doesn't really matter at this point. Mm-hmm. I really think it would be any of them. All I know is behind the scenes, Trump has stopped Huawei in some ways. And, you know, he's kind of going against China, which is also, you know, this is the big tech stuff. This is the big push with big tech. And, you know, and he's been kind of against them. I think he's against TikTok and all of this other stuff they're trying to get stopped here in the United States. So I don't know if it's something he's just waiting until after the election. And I'm not sure where he's at on a lot of this stuff. I wish I did know.
I just have no answer for you about Trump appearing to flip-flop. Or, yeah, it's flip-flop. I mean, that's how I see it.
Well, and he's flipping and flopping with the vaccinations, too, today. So, you know, that's a real concern. I just don't know if he's just obeying orders at this point and just trying to get reelected, and then after that, then, you know, start coming out about some of it. That's what my hopes are. I don't know about you, but that's what my hopes are.
This is an impossible question to answer, but it's a concept I think we need to consider. And you say, well, when he gets reelected, okay. Well, my question is, on time frame, when do we reach the point of no return? I mean, aren't we already there?
Well, this is why I have hope with the these lawsuits. There was a lawsuit with the regulators as well, too, because people don't understand. See, the citizens of the United States, we've already paid for all the rights-of-ways in our cities. And now these telecom industries are coming in, and they want to take over. And they cannot do that. So basically, they lost a big lawsuit as far as that's concerned, too. And I think, Dave, this is the reason they are trying to slam this stuff in as quickly as possible, is because they know that this is coming. Industry knows it's coming, and they are just trying to get it in as quickly as possible. And I don't know if Trump's just going along, you know, at this point, but then afterwards might come out against it. I'm not real sure. But I haven't really heard much of what any of the other politicians have said about it. You know, Biden, he hasn't really mentioned anything as far as I'm concerned, and Kamala Harris, I'm not real sure about her either.
Well, she's on the far side of evil, so whatever does the maximum destruction, she's going to be for.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, it's just going to be something that we do need to get stopped. But there are, you know, there's other countries, and you know, there's cities pushing back now. And I actually do know this: the city of Fort Collins really did not want to put this stuff in. So, there's for some reason they're being pushed to put this in. But you know, it's the push with the United Nations beneath it.
Wow.
And just to let you know, and I mentioned, I think, the last time, too, this global covenant of mayors. You know, this is, they came out, and now they want this new green economy. So now this is where they want to go to digital currency and everything. See, all these organizations are working together behind the scenes that people aren't aware of.
Have you linked any of this into the World Economic Forum?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, because we're going to get into that. I want to get into that in part two, because I'm going to be a little more of a participant in the interview, because there's things I'm going to throw out, and we'll see if we can't find some connecting of the dots going on here. And I think that's, we're going to find a lot of it. This is a globalist plot to harm people. And let's do just a minute or two of speculation here. What's the reason? Why do they want to kill us all? Do you have any opinion on that?
I think it's a eugenics program, and I truly do. I've had a lot of people tell me that they don't believe that, but I truly believe that, Dave. And, you know, they want to decrease the population, and that's what it's all about. And if they can do it, and like I said, they've got everything. I feel like everything's at a head now, you know, with this virus and the vaccinations and like I mentioned before, when you called, I said we're hearing about super spreading events, and now it's extreme weather events. Everything's an event now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's what they're doing.
My friend Lisa Haven came out with something today from her channel, and she was talking about the World Bank and a document that she came across, and they were talking about the pandemic. They're planning for it for 4 more years through 2025.
Right.
I kid you not. I mean, she was reading directly from the document, and she sent me the link. It was unbelievable, but you know, the World Bank's pretty evil in itself. If you people know who has run the World Bank, you would say, "Well, I'm not surprised." But they are saying we're going to be in lockdowns for the next 4 years.
I believe it. And Dave, you know, this, there is no way that, you know, since all this started 6 months ago, that they would have had everything implemented as quickly as they have. I mean, there's something called the Strategic Foresight Summit. And you can type that in / COVID-19, and you can find all kinds of information on it. And you know, they've got different, and then we, you know, all of our cities signed on to what's called the Resilient Cities. And this is what makes me cringe, is because, you know, these Resilient Cities, you know, it's about different shocks. And it's about, you know, weather shocks, earthquakes, hurricanes, you know, all of that type of thing. And then there's economic shocks. Well, here we are, we're in an economic shock with this COVID-19. So you know, they're all this stuff's brewing underneath, and people just aren't quite understanding what's going on. But it's the United Nations in charge of all of it.
Who's really in charge? Is it UN General Secretary? Is it the head of the WHO? I mean, if you look at this, are there secret societies, World Economic Forum? When you do your work, who do you find at the top of the pyramid?
You know, it's the UN Secretary. I mean, there's so many different departments, like I said, Dave. I mean, you can look into everything. If you dig far enough, there's so, it's the it's just like cancer itself. The tentacles go literally everywhere. And, you know, and then we've got these NGOs that are coming in through the UN that are, you know, forcing things and working with our cities and stuff. So, yeah, it's just a real entanglement of stuff. But basically it's the UN, and I don't understand. I've said this to several people that I that, you know, if we were to get out of the UN, a lot of this stuff would go away. It really would.
Mm-hmm. This is probably a Stacey Lynn question. I'm going to hold this. When we come back, we're going to take a short break here. If you're listening to us on Sunday night on Red State or Global Star, you're just going to catch us an hour or two. So we'll be taking a few minutes off. If you're listening to us on KYH our podcast services, you'll be hearing this on successive days. When we come back here, I'm going to make a note of this about who's really in charge. I want to start there in Agenda 21, Agenda 2030. And I'm making myself a note here because I'm hearing enough here to be concerned. This is why I said this is kind of a Stacey Lynn thing, because that's who and what she really goes after. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this has been part one of our conversation with Virginia Farver about 5G. But you can see we don't stay on 5G. This is a multidimensional problem that overlaps with other ways we're being attacked. And what Virginia said, there's a shock event here, shock event there. These events are designed to overlap, and we're actually going to get into that a little bit when we come back. But we're at the end of part one, and we'll be back according to your listening schedule for part two. And just wanted to say very quickly, check us out at thecommonsenseshow.tv, getting rave reviews. And there's no censorship and no commercials. Check that out, thecommonsenseshow.tv.